Hi everyone, and thank you for joining us on this very special series of Lit Publishing's podcast, Lit Radio. My name is Miro, and as always, I will be your host for today's show. As I mentioned, it is a very special occasion for us here at Lit, and it's the 25th anniversary of Lit. And we decided to sit down with some of the people in the Lit family and discuss this great opportunity and anniversary, and who better off to start with than the founder and CEO of Lid, Marcelino Elosa. How are you today, Marcelino?
I'm fine. I just arrived from Spain into London, and I'm very happy to have this opportunity of talking to all of you.
Great, thank you, and thanks for taking the time. We're very happy to have you here in your busy schedule and sit down and talk with us on the podcast. And of course, for those listening, Marcelino is the founder and CEO of Lid Publishing and Lid Editorial, but also Blue Bottle Biz, the leading collaborative learning platform for business professionals. A successful global entrepreneur, Marcelino has founded and led more than 10 companies throughout his professional career. And once again, we're very happy to have him here on the podcast. And now let's start all the way back. And what inspired you to start up with Lid?
Well, I guess it has been something that has been moving along the years, because the first book I published, I was the author, and it was in 1983, and it was a dictionary, the Stanford Business Dictionary, because at that time I was the president of the alumni in Spain, and we wanted to do something to help the people to understand the new concepts, and being a kind of bridge between what we have learned in the States at Stanford and what the executives needed in Spain. And I published that book, so it was a self-published book, a dictionary. And 10 years later, I started with Lid. So the real company started 10 years after I published the first book. So the first book was really designed for helping people and also for reinforcing the image of Stanford. And I guess those are two traits that we still keep in Lid. Because when I started the company, was because I decided to do more of that. So I really want to help the people to train themselves to become better managers. And I do believe that if the management of the companies is better, then the management of any organization will be better, either a school, a sport club, whatever. And then society will be better. The best leverage for a change, for improving, is education. And the education of the managers, I would defend that it has a double leverage. It's even more important. So this is what we are trying to do, and this is what has been driving us over these 25 years.
Great, knowledge is power. And let's go back to the first ever project, the dictionary, as you mentioned. So it was the first undertaking of essentially what would end up becoming Lid. What was it like working on something like a dictionary? Was it a difficult process? Was it something that you really ended up enjoying? Because especially within Lid and our Spanish offices, dictionaries are definitely a specialty. It's something that we take great pride in and we take very seriously.
I didn't have any idea about preparing a dictionary, and I thought it was as simple as having a dinner and inviting each of us, distinguished alumni and experts in different industries, to choose 200 terms from each industry and then putting them together. Well, this was not the case, because after 2 months, nobody has done anything, including myself. So we need to find another track. So at the end, I reinvented the wheel, because I didn't know that the way of building dictionaries was changing at the same time I was preparing this dictionary. And it was changing from what is called lemmatic, building them around the entries. It was changed to be more conceptual or thematic, being about the meaning of the of each concept. But that was the way we chosen. And Why? Because we wanted to teach the people, not just the translation, but we wanted to teach them what was the concept and what was the utility of that concept. So it went very natural to be it conceptual. Now, the important thing is that after that dictionary, we have been doing more and more dictionaries, and we have become the world leader in a specialized business dictionary. And at one point, now it was in 2005, Andreas Langenscheidt, the owner of these yellow dictionaries, Langenscheidt, that decided to buy from us the marketing, the management, the international finance dictionaries, real estate, many. He asked me, well, how come that you started doing thematic dictionaries in 1983 when Langenscheidt has started to do them 20 years later? And I say, well, I had no idea about how to build a dictionary, and I just did it. And so in that sense, LIT has been a pioneer in doing dictionaries the way now people are doing dictionaries. But of course, at least in business, we have a much bigger background, and we already have a database of terms in up to 20 languages. And that's why we now can build dictionaries on any industry or any language much more efficiently than anybody else.
Great. And it is that evolution of the dictionary and the expansion that eventually led into branching out and publishing books on business, on management, on learning and leadership and so forth. And I'd like to focus a bit on that development and that transformation. What was it like to go from the dictionary space and having all that knowledge in there and then translating it into becoming a book publisher as well?
Well, dictionaries are also books, but I guess that it was just a coincidence, because the company was started when I decided to publish the book of a friend. So, and it was a business biography of a Spanish industrialist. And that's why I started the company, because I could not self-publish a book from somebody else. And I thought that publishing business biographies was the best way to teach people role models, to tell them what they can learn from other people, to avoid the mistakes other people have done, to see what they could learn from those stories. And that's the second line of LIT. So we started with business biographies. Now we have over 800 histories of different companies and people, entrepreneurs. We have books that have 200 people, like, for example, one that we did to celebrate Mexico's 200 years. And we were looking at the 200 people that have built Mexico over those years. And we have books, of course, about just one person. And this is a line that was very interesting in terms of the depth of the knowledge, but it was not very good in bookstores. So if we wanted to sell the books in bookstores, we needed something that was more trade-oriented. And that's why we started doing, let's say, more trade books. And we expanded into general management books, and especially consulting companies or people that create new knowledge, because those are the ones that we can benefit the most.
Great. And as we stand today, there are LIT offices in multiple places around the world, and we've taken truly to the global scene. And I'd like to focus on the today and jumping forward a bit. And can you perhaps tell us the secret behind all of this, starting with a single project, moving forward in one area, expanding into another? Was there an ingredient that really brought it all together, and you looked back and you said, hey, you know, this was the secret to the success?
I guess the secret is, it's a kind of a multiple secret, and it's always around people. and around the relationships you establish with those people. First, with the managers we have in each country. It's very difficult to open a country. Now we are in 7 countries, and we have started in China 4 years ago, and now we have a substantial part of our business there. It's very difficult. You need to find the first person. And sometimes we have been trying for 4 or 5 people before we have got the right person. Second thing probably is the authors. We have always chosen not to publish books, not to publish manuscripts. We don't choose if this is the right manuscript for us or not. We choose if this is the right author for us or not, based on can we really help that author to sharpen their knowledge, to explain it more easily or more practically? Can we help them in terms of public relations? So we are always building on authors. And authors, now we have over 2,500 authors published. They have been the people that have moved us from one country to another country many times. And perhaps the third leverage we have used is the editorial board members. We have now 11 editorial boards, even if we are in 7 countries, because we have some boards specialized in certain topics, and we have 92 people. And they are incredible people offering us a vast array of contacts, ideas, and I always encourage our managers to be in closer contact with the editorial board members. And our expansion in China, it comes from one manager, Martin Liu, but also from one board member, Pedro Nueno, which is the founder of CIVS China Europe International Business School, that was the person that gave us the first contacts at the very top level. So if now we are publishing the stories of Huawei, Wanda, Tencent, is through these two people.
Great, and of course for our listeners, Martin will be joining us as well on the 25th anniversary series here, so you can hear more on the topic from him as well. And as we've come to this point and we're at the 25th anniversary, what does the future hold for LID in the future? Where would we be in another 25 years?
I guess we will be building on what we have done, building on those relationships we have with our authors and going with them wherever they want to go. Of course, it's more digital, but digital is something that is not just producing ebooks. Actually, I believe that the downloaded ebooks will disappear in less than 10 years.
Wow, that's quite the statement.
Well, I mean, it's like nobody buys video now. They watch series in streaming. So there is no point in buying a digital asset that you are going to consume only once. And it will happen to the books also. And this second company, Blue Bottle Biz, is helping to do that, because at the end it's a platform in the cloud where you can read books, watch videos, listen to audiobooks. There are over 8 formats, and have a discussion on the content with experts, providing your own comments, listening to other people's comments or reading them. And this is content with context. And reading in the cloud, it's a big change compared to reading your own copy, because it means that whatever is added to that book in the cloud then can be read by anyone in any place.
Yep, it's out there.
And this changes radically the way we communicate. So I would say that we are going to be digital, because we are already digital, but digital is much more of what we are seeing now. Sometimes I give the example of black and white cinema. that compared to theatre that was full of color and sound, was really a little bit dull. But of course, after that kind of films, you had the color films with sound, TV, internet. So you really need to understand what is the change in the technology that will drive the future. At that point was that you needed, you don't need the actors to be there representing the play every time. And you save a lot of, let's say, labor cost. Now, the change now is not that you have a printed book in black and white on a digital format. That's not the change. The radical change is that that book is in the cloud. And through that original in the cloud, you can have a dialogue between the readers, the authors, the experts, and this is what is going to change, because the book will just be a platform for discussion.
Yeah, very, very interesting thoughts there to ponder. And of course, for our audience, if you are into that kind of thing, we'll have a link in the description below where you can go. You can find out more about Blue Bottle Biz and the digital revolution. Now, the last question in the first part of our conversation today, Marcelino, is the one I ask to everyone, actually, that comes on the podcast in general. And that's, what are you currently reading?
Well, coming from Gatwick, I was starting to read for the second time a book I'm editing, because as CEO, I don't edit books anymore in the management books, so that I don't interfere with the general managers and with the whole team. But there is a fiction collection called Gaius that is hyper-realistic fiction, which means that is absolutely true, but it's portrayed as fiction. And this is a novel, if you want to call it that way, about Venezuela and about Chavez, and it's called The Worst Friend of My Dog. And it's the story of a TV presenter that has to flee Venezuela, and of course there is a dog. And I hope you can read the novel soon.
Great, sounds very exciting. And with that, I would like to thank you for joining us on the first part of our conversation with Marcelino. And of course, if you enjoyed what we talked about today, there will be links in the description below where you can go. You can find out more about our 25th anniversary celebration and, of course, LID in general. But we hope that you will join us for part two of our conversation. And once again, you can find us on our social media channels at LID Radio. And we look forward to seeing you for part two.